So I chose to change what I could. I chose to change my actions. My father died this week, not unexpectedly. And as I filter through the many thoughts and feelings that have already arrived, one of my realizations is that he taught me how to be a man. But he taught me how to not be the kind of man he was. Some years ago, I stopped going out to eat with my father. I couldn't bear to watch this old guy comment on a waitress's body or ask if she wanted his phone number in front of his wife. I stopped talking to him when he belittled my sisters for making decisions that ensured their safety, protected their families, advanced their careers, or supported their freedom. Or called my brother a sissy for being a guy with a gentle heart, an easy manner, and a love of people. I stopped talking with him because long after he stopped being physically violent with women, he continued to be verbally and emotionally violent. You get the idea. So when I try to shift from A to B, from female to male, I look for role models. And I realized that if I pretty much did the opposite of what my father did, I'd be a reasonably good man. And I'm not trying to paint me as perfect. I know I have work to do. Everyone does. But there were some basic things I learned in response to him that feel worth repeating. I understood that men should never, in any capacity, try or actually exert control over women. I learned that verbal control is every bit as dangerous as emotional or physical control, and that none of those are acceptable in any measure in a healthy relationship. I knew from my days as a woman the sheer pain of sexual harassment, and I committed to never doing the same. But that's far from enough, because misogyny and patriarchy run a whole lot deeper than that. When I changed my name from David to DL a number of months ago, the reactions were mixed, here and out in the world too. Some got it, some didn't, and some just didn't want to. And mostly I decided to let it go, thinking it's not my job to educate people and explain my decision. But it turns out it kind of is. Because it matters that you understand why your minister shifted from a place of male privilege to one in which he is somewhat regularly mistaken for female, especially if I'm with my partner. It matters that you understand how I identify, or you don't. No, it matters that you understand how I identify because it is indicative of how others will be welcomed here. And it matters that we know what makes a man. So let's begin with the obvious question and answer it. Gender and genitalia are not related. More and more when babies are born, you'll hear enlightened parents, when asked the question, is it a boy or a girl? Answer, we don't know yet. Let them grow up and tell us. Gender is how we understand ourselves, it is how we move in the world, but it is not biological. And it matters that we can make space for that, because as we do, that shifts the power structure. And I don't want to overstate the point here, but transgender folks, and you'll hear me say trans for short, transgender folks change the world for the better. One of the many things I love about being trans is that I don't have to be explicitly male, not in the traditional sense. I don't have masculinity to prove. I have the freedom to step outside that constraint and find other ways of relating. And that's where the healing is. And that's true for more than just the folks that live outside the binary of purely male or purely female. I say none of this as criticism. My own gender journey has been one of learning and changing and having all sorts of internal judgments about how someone should look or dress or sound. Early on, I found myself judging others, especially trans women who don't tend to have passing privilege. Passing privilege means there's something that you're readily identifiable as the gender you're identified as birth. So a trans woman might have a large Adam's apple or large hands or a deeper voice. So unlike me, they can't pass in the world the same way. And I judged that. I judged it harshly. And looking back, I was reinforcing patriarchy. Because patriarchy isn't just about men's power over women, though that too. It's the way we control each other through expectations and unspoken rules. Increasingly, my respect is for people that break all the rules. And I can't think of help think of that young 16-year-old who is changing our view on climate change right now. I'm kind of in love with all the rule breakers. And even here in our little state of Rhode Island, I have begun to understand that it's more radical, more inclusive, more diverse than first glance suggests. We're not all the same. It's that same freedom, that same sense you have, I hope, of I can bring all of myself here on Sunday. That's what I want us to have for everyone. So when Bethany first brought me the script for this week's pageant, the people were labeled man and woman. That's it. As though that explained who they were. And we thought about giving the characters actual names and giving them depth to their life experience. Because whether you're looking for God here or whether you're not, it's that freedom of exploration that's at the core of this faith tradition. Every one of us is so much more than just man or woman. And it's in that vein that I'm risking and sweating and bringing more of myself here this morning, because I hope if I do, it'll make room for you to do the same, to bring more of the parts you hide out into the open. I changed my name to DL because I wanted to step away from being definably male. Outside of the realm of male or female, there are so many of us who identify that way. And it isn't new, it's just news to the world right now, but we've always been here. Always. I shifted to DL to claim all of me, choosing the unknown over certainty, choosing flexibility over the known. And in my world, I'm on the conservative end of things. I have friends who cannot be labeled male or female, thank you, Adria, for nodding at me, on any given day, and that's who they are. And the brilliance, at the core of this, the brilliance of this is that it smashes the patriarchy. Trans folks, genderqueer folks, non-binary folks, my friends, are revolutionary, even though we're really just trying to live our lives. At a time when so much is hard in the world, I know that some of you can look at trans folks. I know that some, not some of you, some can look at trans folks and think that's a phase, it's not a critical issue, maybe they're very confused. Just the opposite is true. We are out there tearing down the structures that oppress us. And when we do, we make space for you. Patriarchy, all the ways that women are controlled, from reproduction to pay, from harassment to outright violence. When there are people making that fight who are not men or women, we inherently force the system to eventually accept other ways of being. And over time, more and more get to live into that freedom. I wish that my father had been a different man. That he had understood why giving space for difference, for self-determination, is a beautiful thing. But more than that, I wish the world had been present enough to see his violence as unacceptable, his control is wrong, and his misogyny is something to shift. The reality is that no one, including his spouses, were ever able to effectively change or help that. So in this time of Me Too, I'm focused on no more. No more societal affirmations of men, and God, of white men, perpetuating patriarchy and oppression. And no more need for men to think that that's what the world is requiring of them. And please, no more needing to live up to standards, male or female or anywhere else, that asks us to constrain ourselves within boxes, controlling us from deeper and ever-evolving truths. So the next time you see someone who messes with your understanding of gender, ask them about their journey. Witness their deep truths. Allow yourself to be challenged and maybe even changed. Let there be room for all of us here. Amen.